In April of 1966, I was a senior in high school. I was a suburban pink kid. I knew the civil rights movement. I was engaged by it. I knew Martin Luther King. I knew Malcolm X, read the autobiography because I was supposed to, and it hooked me. But I have to say, it was so remote. It was not a part of my life. And then I opened up the paper, and I read about Screwcall the Brothers, and there's something about it that brought it home because that was only a few miles away. It was April 66 when Earl Thorpe, along with Leon Van Dyke, Sam McDowell, his younger brother Purcell, Gordon Van Ness, Gene Dobbs, and about 10 or so other brave souls met at Albany's Old Trinity Institute and formed the Brothers, the Albany-based civil rights group that preceded the Panthers by 6 months. And I have with me here today two of my heroes from that era, and that's Earl Thorpe and Purcell McDowell. They're both right here. I don't know. I have to say, I mean that seriously. You're two of my heroes. I wrote about it in the Times Union.
Thank you very much.
One of the thrills to connect with you after all of these years, to say that I not only got to write about you, but also to be interviewing you here. So before I just talk on, nobody wants to hear me. They sure want to hear about you. So I'm going to turn that over. Earl, you got some thoughts on this you want to begin with?
Yeah, what happened? We got a grant through Trinity. Mike Notarillo and his associate wrote a grant, and we got funded for neighborhood groups. The census tract was from the governor's mansion over to Green Street, from Green Street to Madison Avenue, over to Catherine Street. So we had neighborhood groups, neighborhood workers, and we would hire neighborhood workers. I chaired that association. It was called the Grand Community Organization. That was my group. The group was called SNCAP. It was South End Neighborhood Program. So we got funded, and we hired Olivia Rory, Ann Freeland, Leon Van Dyke was a worker. From that, we formed a male group. Well, a male group brought on dissension because they wasn't in that census tract. So we would meet there, but they lived out of the census tract, and we named that group the Brothers.
And how did it go from that kind of, you know, probably harmless beginning to being the Brothers, what garnered all the attention and controversy that it did in 1966?
Well, I think there was the Brothers saw a need in Albany, and they were all, you know, mothers and fathers and men that had families, and they weren't able to get jobs. Jobs were a big factor. Most of us of the Brothers migrated from the South, come north looking for the big dollar or a dollar if we could get one. And that was our opportunity in order to band together with like-mindedness on situations to get some things done. And one of them was jobs.
Yeah. People, I think, lose sight of the fact that it was a great, you know, black migration that began in the 1920s, and people came north to find jobs.
Absolutely.
To be a part of the manufacturing trade that was growing, the construction trade. And if there was ever an area that promised, you know, great employment boom, or should have been, with the mall being constructed at the time.
That's correct.
And the state university being constructed
at the time.
I mean, talk about a workforce waiting to jump in there, qualified people. But you were shut out of the unions, am I correct?
Right. Well, when they broke ground at the State University, we started picketing. We picketed the entranceway. And they started to hear us, and we just picketed every site that we could picket.
And plus, Mike, it was locals, the construction workers, Local 190, and bricklayers, carpenters, all of the construction locals had just refused to hire minorities. And we picked that up as a cause to continue to organize and let these people know that we were serious about being employed and about feeding our families.
And I know the reaction in Albany was not good. I mean, of course, Albany was dealing with something that they were not prepared for, which is 1940. The area was 1% black. By 1960, it was some like 14%. So people were concerned.
Yes.
And that was a way of discouraging people from coming into the community. But you needed work. You needed work. So what did you do that really started to change things, Earl and Purcell? What happened that really started to turn things around?
Well, with us picketing, then we started picketing the housing people that own the infested houses. We started picketing the housing owners, and we got results from that. Abbott and Kirk's, to name a few. And we did that. We did Schaefer Brewery. Everybody that had, you know, a lot of employment, we would picket that at that site. Mm-hmm. And we got results because I ended up going to work for Schaefer. And after that, I ended up going to the Carpenters Local. and I became a journeyman carpenter. So did Purcell McDowell.
I remember you telling me some stories, too, that in order to get people's attention,
yeah,
you sometimes had to get a bit...
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We had to get creative.
Yeah, tell me about one of those creative stories.
I've seen the time that we spray-painted the truck windows.
Yeah, coming out of Schaefer Brewery.
Yeah, it makes deliveries a little complicated.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Makes deliveries a little complicated.
Paint dries fast.
Plus, his supply went to the locals. And, you know, we also, we done things like made such a noise to let people know that we were really, really and genuinely serious about either belonging to the locals and working and or getting jobs and feeding our families.
Remember this. The concern was the potential for violence. But the
absolutely.
Brothers were not violent.
No.
Militant is not violent.
Right. They didn't understand that.
If anything, you quelled violence.
Absolutely.
Tell that story, because I know that one. One example of when violence in 67, I think it was. Am I right?
Yes.
67, yeah. Riots and the Detroit riots.
Yes.
But it could have happened in Albany, but it didn't because of the brothers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we came out and stopped it.
Yeah, we walked the neighborhoods.
Right.
The neighborhoods. And, you know, we didn't know everybody, but we knew a lot of the kids.
They knew you.
They knew us.
They respected us.
And they respected what we were doing. And we asked them to please not allow themselves to get in trouble. And we've done such a good job that we got two of our people arrested. They accused my brother Sam and another brother, Pryor, of inciting the riot.
It was just the opposite.
But, you know, that they were acquitted, and it just brought more focus on what we were doing in the community.
And the brothers were the reason why Albany had garbage pickup.
Yeah,
tell me that story.
That's a good story. We started gathering trash. We would gather trash and put them in the carts.
People would come to the neighborhood and drop their garbage, right?
They would drop garbage there, but we still didn't have a trash removal. They had nowhere to put it.
Prior to that, they would throw it in the backyard. Throwing it out in the street. They would wait until midnight or wait until night or something, but they had no other means of disposing of the garbage.
So we decided to take some garbage and dump it on City Hall.
You brought it to City Hall?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And we got response then.
What kind of response?
They started trash removal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We even had to introduce City Hall to some roaches.
Yeah, I heard that story.
You know, with the slum landlords refused to
take care
of their property. And, you know, these people, mothers, single mothers, a lot of them, and a lot of them families were living with these cockroaches, and everybody seemed to be satisfied with it until we gathered a jar of them, took them and exposed the mayor and the city hall to them.
Yeah, that'll wake you up.
So the brothers left and the cockroaches stuck around a little longer.
Cockroaches laid there.
Yeah,
they were there for a little while.
We left them there.
But as a result of the brothers, I know that as a direct result of what you did, a lot of things changed.
Yes, it did.
In Albany. Garbage pickup began. The $5 vote came to an end.
Yes.
What else came to an end?
A lot of the police brutality. A lot of the just pick a brother up for no reason kind of come to an end. We were instrumental in making sure that places like the police department put some minorities on.
Our first black chief, that's a result of the brothers.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that.
I did not
John
know that.
Dale.
John Dale.
Lieutenant. And he would be there when we got out for our meetings in a detective car because he could identify with most of us. So they promoted him.
Interesting. So let me ask you a question that's probably on the minds of the viewers. For those of you who missed the first part of this, I'm Michael Rivas, and I'm talking to two founding members of the Brothers, Purcell McDowell and Earl Thorpe, a civil rights group that began in Albany 6 months before the Panthers did out in Oakland. But people might be wondering right now, where are the Brothers now? Today's Brothers, this generation.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm always asked about starting a group. In my age, Mike, you know, my kid's out of college. I wouldn't be the one to do that right now. I could, you know, help with something like that. But to start it at my age, no, I'm looking for, you know, the better days now.
The one thing that I wonder about, and I don't have an answer to, is where are the leaders of today? I mean,
good question.
When I was
very good question
during this time, I mean, you couldn't walk 50 feet without running into a leader of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
There just doesn't seem to be around.
And, most of us seem to pick up some volunteer time, and I work in the school system trying to help the, not the middle school, but the elementary school. I work in the elementary school system, which I enjoy, trying to direct or redirect the minds of some of the young minorities in the community. And I work down at Giffen, which is right in the heart of the community. And I love it. I think they're doing a fantastic job. And beside that, you know, we're all dealing with our families or grandkids. I got 10. Earl's got
six.
We that along with going to church.
Yeah.
I'm a deacon at Mount Calvary. And Earl's a deacon at Metropolitan.
Yeah, right.
And that along with singing, we love to sing. We sing in groups. Hmm. We have a male chorus. They have a male chorus. We compliment one another.
We fraternize with each other.
Yeah. It's just that usually the baton gets passed to the younger generation. And why we know you and I talked about that once before, Earl, and I asked you where they were, and you said they're in jail, you know. And that's another problem of today with mass incarceration, which is a whole other discussion. But it's crippled communities throughout the country.
Absolutely.
Look, well, we should probably wind this up, but it's an honor for me. It was an honor to connect with you, adult to adult, rather than the starry-eyed kid that I was who showed up at one of your protests in 1967. and it was an honor to write about you, and now to interview you on the radio. It was just a thrill for me. All respect.
Well, Mike,
thank
Mike,
you
we
very
really,
much,
really
Mike.
Appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
One thing you do is keep the fire burning.
Yeah, right.
And you tell the truth about what you've seen and about what you've heard and what you're involved in. So we really appreciate you.
Thank you, my friend. That's a high
We don't
honor.
Have a storyteller.
Yeah. Right.
That's a high
So we appreciate you.
Yeah.
Back in the
you.
Day,
thank
we had
much.
Kennedy. Kennedy was our associate media.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Bill Kennedy.
Bill Kennedy,
walked
sure.
Right.
Bill Kennedy was instrumental in writing about the brothers
us.
Back
yes.
when
yes. Yeah, he walked
much.
With us. When we, he walked with us on a day-to-day basis.
Very brave man. Very
yeah, there
brave
wasn't
man.
Any reward for a journalist writing about the brothers.
No.
I did it, and people said, nice job.
Yeah.
But Bill Kennedy did it, and he could have lost his job.
Yeah, he could have.
Papers
yeah.
were owned by people
Absolutely.
Who weren't too
yeah.
Fond of.
Absolutely.
He got honored the other day at City Hall. He said, Earl, we can come here now and we won't have to picket.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. All right. Well, it's an honor. All
Thank
respect.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you very
Thank
much,
you,
Mike.